For more than half a century, Pan America World Airways, or Pan Am, was the pinnacle of airline travel, a pioneer in the development of overseas transportation, the jumbo jet, and computerized reservation systems. Pan Am was a mammoth in the field for a large part of the 20th century. And its bright sky blue logo and the lettering that went with it, it said that the skies were glamorous. It made it approachable. And its ads depicted plenty of legroom and fine dining. But that bright blue also summons a feeling of stability, of steadiness. It said that Pan Am was something that people could rely on and trust, that blue. Well, what happened? What happened to the aeronautical giant? None of you have been on a Pan America flight for some time because it ceased to exist in 1991 when its remaining assets were sold to Delta Airlines. Pan Am fell victim to increasing competition, to some accidents, and to fluctuating oil prices. Before it was shut down entirely, it is said that Pan Am was losing some $3 million per day. And it had lost the trust of Delta, its new owner, and Wall Street, and the public trust in general. That blue logo that elicited trust, stability, no longer. So for this Advent season, we'll be working through a new series, The Colorful Characters of Christmas. Nice alliteration, huh? The series will highlight characters in the Christmas story and connect them to color. The colors on the artwork of your bulletin covers, they are striking this year. Overwhelming with colors that evoke emotions and memories, meanings of the season. So I can remember when I was a young elementary school student, when we first learned about color beyond its names and shades. My art teacher's name was Mrs. Gross. Yes, Mrs. Gross, the art teacher. She taught us about warm colors and cool colors, which helped connect in our minds the dots between sun and fire and warmth, or cool like grass and water. Colors communicate, don't they? So this season, which is normally full of color, will connect color to character to narrative. Today, blue. It was Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Blue. So every week in Advent, there will be a video posted to the church Facebook page. So pay attention, stay tuned. Those of you who watched this week's Advent video know that blue is used in marketing to communicate stability and trust. And you think about the banking world, blue logos like Capital One, Bank of America, Chase, all communicating, you can trust us. We'll be around a long time. Blue, a color in marketing. But just because there's blue in the logo, does that mean we do trust our financial institutions, our banks, to be stable and to endure? Certainly the market crash calls that into question. Certainly, constant merging and buying of banks calls it into question. Blue or not, we certainly hope we can trust financial institutions, and yet we know they will not be around forever. Zechariah is described as a priest in the priestly line of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, is in the line of Aaron. Yes, Aaron, the brother of Moses, that significant priest in the Israelite narrative. Luke wants us to know that their priestly lineage is significant, for they are a righteous couple living dutifully under the law. Zechariah's role places him in the temple on this day that the angel speaks to him concerning the birth of his son John. Now this morning, I want you to connect the dots in your minds from the color blue to the law and the priesthood and the temple. In Hebrew, there's this special word, tekhelet, which refers to this special blue dye that's used often in the service of the priesthood and in the temple. Tekhelet is used for the clothing of the high priest, the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tzitzit. The tzitzit is that special corded fringe on the end of a garment. In Numbers 15, 37 to 41 describes the importance of the tzitzit. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and tell them to make fringes on the corner of their garments throughout their generations, to put a blue cord on the fringe at each corner. You have the fringe so that when you see it, you will remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and not follow the lust of your own heart or your own eyes. You shall remember and do my commandments, and you shall be holy to the Lord, for I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.'" So if you place yourself in the mind of a first century listener to Luke's gospel, when you hear Zechariah the priest, you might think blue, that special blue hue, tekhelet. It conjures a memory of the commandments, the temple, the priesthood, and those temple practices. It's a feeling of stability, of truth. Even when things are crumbling around us, the temple is solid. It's a foundation for the people of Israel. And yet, how stable was the temple and its practices? If you know the sagas of the temple of the Old Testament, you know that it had seasons of ebb and flow from that movable tabernacle which follows the people before eventually finding its home in Jerusalem during the reign of King David. Solomon builds the temple, but its practices are forgotten and misconstrued. The temple that Zechariah walks into is an evolving temple, currently being restored and enlarged by King Herod, a complicated figure. In fact, Luke opens this story about Zechariah saying, "In the days of King Herod," a reference one commentator says should send chills down our spines, for Herod was known for his ruthlessness. So how stable, how foundational and trustworthy really was this institution of the temple and its priesthood? If we pull aside that blue curtain in the temple, what do we see? Well, in Luke 1, Zechariah gets to do just this. He walks into the Holy of Holies, pulling back that blue curtain, and he encounters something far more striking than any mundane ritual. He encounters the angel of the Lord. In a room shrouded with divine mystery, Zechariah is terrified, but the angel instructs him with this recurring phrase, "Do not be afraid." And the angel, Gabriel, explains that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth will become pregnant and bear a son who Zechariah will name John. This John will turn people to the Lord. Turn people to the Lord. Yes, that should make it sound like the people are not currently focused on the Lord, which only adds to the complications that here Zechariah stands in the temple being refurbished by a ruthless puppet King Herod, far from a righteous man. The temple sometimes feels throughout its lifetime as a mask of righteousness for an otherwise flawed people, whom the prophets are regularly reminding readers about. Yet here we sit, in our temple equivalent of the day, a church building, a sanctuary, and we're well into another tradition-filled season with these symbols meant to aid us in encountering God. For so many people, it's a special season, but we ask why intentionally today. I'm thinking today about how God might try to disrupt these traditions, these ritual practices, to try to get our attention. We could go through the motions again of another Oakton Christmas, of Christmas festival and Christmas caroling and Christmas Eve service and Christmas Day celebrations. We could go through it all and still not notice God. Rather, we might notice the coziness, the beauty, the food, the gifts, the tradition, but not necessarily see the angel in the room. May our traditions not become a mask of righteousness. Even though it sounds like this is exactly what happened to the people of Israel, and most likely for many of us. Going through the motions without noticing the angel in the room. When Zechariah enters the temple and peels back that blue tekelet curtain, a symbol of stability, he finds God. Sometimes we need to look deeply through or maybe around tradition or institution to find what God is really doing or calling for us. So what happens when you, like Zechariah, peel back that blue curtain of stability? Maybe you encounter God, both a stabilizing and decentering force. The Jewish prayer known as the Shema takes pieces of three texts of Torah, including Numbers 15, which I read earlier about this blue corded tassel. These texts do build up traditions, but not so that we might simply do those traditions, but so that we might remember through them the covenant and remember that the Lord is one. For no tradition is as important as what they point toward the Lord alone. Institutions come and go. Once commercial forerunners like Pan Am, they have a season. Banks attempting to communicate stability and trust, they're always merging and selling. Even the temple had its season to its life when it functioned to point people to God, and even had those moments when it most certainly did not. Moments of divine beauty, moments of plain corruption. So this season, as we approach stabilizing traditions of our faith, may they assist us in turning and noticing the God-child who broke in and decentered, destabilized an institution. May we peel back the curtains in our lives to see God and not merely participate as we think we ought to. May we notice if there's an angel in the room. Amen.